for your work is not done, no. Keep on believing and hold on tight. He's able to give you joy and the morning light. Say he's able. Come on. Hey. He's able. Come on, y'all sound real good. Oh, he is. He's able. Come on. Yeah. I know that he can do it. He said he helped me do it. Hold on, my brother. Your change is gonna come. Be strong, my sister. For your work is not done, no. Keep on believing and hold on tight. He's able to give you joy in the morning light. Say he's able. Come on, somebody say that he's able. Oh, come on, somebody say that he's able. Hey, I know that he can do it. I know that he can. Come on, do you believe it? I know that he can. He said. I know that he can do it. He said he helped me through it. Come on right here. Oh, say he's able. Say, oh yes he is. Say he's able. Oh yes he is. Say he can do it. Say, oh yes he can. Say he can do it. Oh yes he can. Say, oh yes he can. Oh yes he can. Say, oh yes he can. Oh yes he can. Say, oh yes he can. Say, oh yes he can. Say, I know that he can do it. He said he helped me through it. I know that he can do it. He said he helped. Come on, I know. The Bible tells me so. I know that he. Come on, he said he'll. Come on, I know that he can. He said he will. Say, I know that he. Oh, we serve mighty God. Oh, he really is a great God. He really is a great God. Oh, hey, he really is a great God. He really is a great God. Oh, he really is a great God. He really is a great God. Oh, he really is a great God. He really is a great God. One more time. I know that he can do it. He said he helped me through. I know that he can do it. He said he helped me. I know. He said that he. I know. He said he helped me through it. He's able.
To God be the praise. Amen. 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 We're going to continue in worship by worshiping through our giving. Amen. Giving is an intricate, is a very important part of worship. Let me preface this before we worship. If you can't give, don't try. But if you can give, don't lie. Our scripture lesson for our offertory is in the gospel recorded by Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 19. It reads on this wise: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Pastor Wilson all has instructed us this is a season of repentance, revival, and renewal. And many of us need to repent for our giving practices. I have problems with folks that your Amazon giving is more than your... I ride past some of your houses. I see those packages. Don't store up. I parked in the parking lot. I saw the fine vehicles. But by and by, somebody else is going to be driving your car all around New Jersey. Sleeping in that. All I'm trying to say is during this season, I'm charging you. I'm charging myself to give sacrificially. This is all we have. I'm sorry. This is all we have is the church. You think you got? This is all we have. We were shown that last night. This is all, not just last, but this is all we have. This is ours that we need to continue to strengthen. Continue to sow into the church. We made giving so very convenient. If you're giving by way of Cash App, our Cash App ID is $OrangeUnitedClergy2. If you're giving by way of Cash App, we're still going to ask you to come and touch the basket with your phone, your device. Clergy, you know what you've been asked to do. So what you've been asked to do, I'm asking you to do even more. Let's give sacrificially during this entire season. And I guarantee you will be blessed. You will be blessed. At this time, we're going to ask, the ushers will come with baskets. We're going to ask our finance department. They will come. I don't know. Amen. Our treasurers. Pastor Stephanie McKay will come. Past President Reverend Lori Williams will come. Past President Lori Williams will be holding the basket for the preacher. Our treasurer, Pastor McKay, will be holding the basket for the United Clergy of the Oranges. Amen. Amen. We're going to ask ushers if you would lead us at this time. Please stand. Let us stand. Eternal God, we thank you for this time of worship, worshiping through our giving. God, we thank you for those that gave, those that had a mind to give but not the resources. Now, Lord, bless this offering 100-fold for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. God, we thank you now. This is our prayer in the matchless, the strong, in the saving name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen.
Introduce our preacher, amen, for the evening, amen, in the person of Pastor Jacqueline Robinson. Amen. She is the senior pastor of the Power of Prayer, Bridging the Gap Ministries, located in the city of Newark, New Jersey. Amen. She is no stranger, amen, to the United Clergy of the Oranges. Amen. She has been a faithful member, amen, who have served with us, amen, throughout the years. Amen. We're grateful to have her. Amen. If you never heard her before, you are in for a treat. Amen. She is here. Her husband is here of 32 years. Amen. Deacon Alexander Robinson. Amen. She told me she's a proud grandmother and great-grandmother of how many? And great-great-grandmother. How many do you have? A whole lot of them. Amen. Amen. She's been serving in ministry for over 40 years. Amen. So she is not a novice. Amen. And we're so grateful to have Pastor Robinson open us up tonight. Amen. It has been our custom over the last 4 years to have one of our women preachers, amen, open us our Lenten season up every year. And we are delighted to continue that tradition and to have Pastor Robinson come and to preach to us on this evening. So after the sermonic selection by, amen, our Elder Lawrence, the next voice you will hear will be that of the preacher, Pastor Jacqueline Robinson.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, you know I'm old now, my leg, doing all this shouting, oh, Jesus. But God is great, and greatly to be praised. Just get a little exercise, that's all it is. I've got so much to thank God for. So many wonderful blessings and so many open doors. A brand new mercy, along with me. New day. That's why I praise you. And for this, I give you praise. I've got so much to thank God for. So many wonderful blessings and so many open doors. A breath That's why I praise you. And for this, I give you praise. I'm going to skip all the way down. For every mountain you brought me over, for every trial you seen me through, for every blessing.
Father, we say hallelujah. For this, we give.
one more time. For every mountain, somebody say that you brought me. Oh, for every trial, come on, somebody say that you brought me.
Come on and bless the Lord. Come on and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. He's been just that good for every mountain, for every blessing, for every repentance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He brought us through. The devil had a plot, but God had a plan for every mountain. For anything else, we can take time to bless the name of the Lord. Amen. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Worshiping and praising God. Because when we think of the goodness of Jesus, thinking of his goodness, all, not just some, but all he's done. For this, we give him praise. It's all right. It's an honor and a blessing to stand in this holy place where the Spirit of the Lord is. We are grateful on today that the Lord trusts you to trust me. Amen. And we are grateful to the clergy of the Oranges. You may be seated. To our President Lawrence. Amen. To our Vice President. I had, you know, I'm a little bit old. and you and all of you. I dare not get her name wrong. Amen. So to all of you that are here tonight, and most of all to my darling husband with his handsome self. Come on up in here, sugar. Amen. You might not see him, but I got him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We thank God. He is a wonderful, wonderful man of God. On tonight, we're not going to prolong things, but we're going to go directly into the word of the Lord. We are coming from the scripture that was read earlier on today, from John, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 47th verse. Here we see that John's gospel, can I talk about John just a little bit, is notably distinct from the other three gospels. The three factors to be recognized when we begin to read what John has said is to be noticed and often seen a discourse following an incident and discussed the implements of the incident. Jesus was one of the examples when he thirsted at Jacob's well. John shows us that it's followed by the disclosure on living water, feeding the 5,000, disclosed by following by the bread of life. John, I love him because I love the way he explained things. And when we read the scripture, you're going to see why John is one of my good friends. The other gospels, it tells about the miracles are normally used to reveal Jesus' power. So in John, the miracles are usually teaching signs and messages following each other. John shows us the length in his writing of Jesus' public ministry. And so with this, when we read this, we're going to see what John saw. So in my spirit eye, in my mind, I can see John as an evangelist who tells us he's carrying the message. He's being the messenger, and he's speaking to us, the hearers, on tonight. And it says at the beginning of the 47th verse, then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take him away, both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. And this he spake, he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but that all
also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. But Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went in the wilderness into a city called Ephraim, and there continued in with his disciples. The plot. Somebody say the plot thickens. Sub under that, look at somebody and say this. The devil had a plot, but God had a plan. When I looked at this, Dr. Wilson and all these other great men that I look up to, I was kind of puzzled with the plot and this scripture. But then I thought about why here. I had to run back a little bit to 10. And I saw that all this diversion, and in the first of the 11th chapter, came just because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. All because he did a miracle. And there were some folk who did not like Jesus. They really hated him. They cared nothing for him. And guess who it was, y'all? It was the leaders. It was the high priest. It was those who were in authority. And the reason is because they had this thing that it's all about me. I rule. That I am the one. I make the law. You break the law, I punish you for all of that. But Jesus came and he didn't break the law. If you notice, every time that someone came to him, the priest, the scribes, the Sadducees, whoever sees B's and A's, came to him, he always used the word of God. He gave them back what they were trying to say that he was doing wrong. Jesus knew the law, and the word said he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So here I saw that they were upset because when Jesus heard that his friend Lazarus was sick, he didn't move right then. And the disciples, they were kind of leery because then they came back and said, he's dead. And then he began to say, well, we're going to go over where he is, right? And so this what my boy Thomas said. He said, the rest of them said, well, you know that they seek to kill you over there. And so he said, but I'm still going because that's my friend. Can I paraphrase? And then one said, well, we might as well go on over there and get killed right along with him. Y'all tell me if I'm wrong, just pull my coattail. All of this because Jesus did what he had to do. And so the Bible says, and it lets us know that wherever Jesus was, there was a scribe, there was a Pharisee, there was somebody nosy, there was somebody picking, there was somebody poking, there was somebody always had something to say or something to do, even when they were hiding. They had a motive that they wanted to get rid of Jesus because he was doing too much. Don't you know that people want to get rid of you when you do too much? And all you're trying to do is what the will of the Lord tell you to do. He didn't go about raising his hands and say, hey, I'm Jesus. You understand what I am? I'm Jesus. My daddy is God. He was assigned to do, and he did it well. But because they feel the power of his words, they got mad. So here they are. They're back in the background. I want you to see Caiaphas. I want you to see the scribes. I want you to see the Sadducees. I want you to see the Pharisees standing in the back. Yet they were there. They couldn't say anything, because when you're in the presence of the Lord, the Holy Ghost will make you shut your mouth. Even if you want to do something, you might want to plot, you might want to play, you might want to say something, but the Holy Ghost zip, zip, zip. And even though they had power where they were, Jesus overpowered them. So he answers his disciples. Thomas says, "Let's go, so we can die with him." He was so just so crazy. He won't even willing to die, but because Jesus was there, he knew that Jesus worked miracles. He knew that Jesus could raise the dead. He knew he was just running off at the mouth. He knew he wasn't going to stay back there because he didn't want to be by himself. Just why the best tell the truth. So he said, "There's a plot." Yeah. The Bible says that the chief priests and the Pharisees took counsel and said, "What we gonna do with him? For he doth many miracles." Now, when he did the miracle with Lazarus, somebody went back and told it. Now, what gets me is everybody knew Jesus, because for 3 years he was doing his thing. They showed up where he was. He didn't say, "Y'all, come on over here." He didn't say that. But because he was doing things that they did not see or could not realize that they couldn't do it. The soothsayers couldn't do it. The witchcraft doctor couldn't do it. Come on, somebody. But Jesus walks in and said, "Rise up." Jesus walks in with a man that's been around the pool for 38 years. It puzzled me because he was always there. He did the miracles, and the man was standing there giving excuses. But Jesus said, "I'm going to do you one better. Take that mess up. Take it up." So after seeing all this, they got so mad. They followed him, but they did not want him in their business. Now, a plot is a plan to do something illegal. It's a plan made in secret by a group of people to do something illegal or harmful. And this is what they were trying to do. And so when they had a conspiracy, they all got together and began to find out how we gonna mess with this Jesus. He said, "If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him." Well, that's what he came to do. "And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation." You ain't got no place. You in place, but it ain't yours. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, this is what blew my mind. Caiaphas was there that year, and he said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one should die for the people and that the whole nation not perish." He said, "Look, we know that every year somebody died, but y'all want to pick on Jesus. So the plot is Jesus is doing too much." Now, they already had somebody in jail who was a killer. He was a murderer. Am I right? So they had already somebody, but because he was locked up, and Jesus was walking around free, locking them up, they were locked up. They were so mad. We got to get out of this jail. We got to get. He's messing with us. He's showing us up. And so Caiaphas, God allowed him to prophesy to let them know what is going to be. Jesus still going to do it. And not for the nation only, but for everyone to gather all the children of God and to that are scattered abroad. The Bible said he comes to his own and his own receive him not, but as many as receive him, give them power to become. And from that day forth, they got mad. They wanted to put him to death. And Jesus, this Bible said that he walked no more openly with the Jews. Not used to. I was so ignorant. When they said jewelry, I thought they were talking about, you know, stuff like, yeah. Jewelry. So that's how we start wearing our earrings. We start wearing our, you know, little earbobs and all, because we did not understand. But it was the Jewish sector that he was not walking in. And so here, to keep us in line, we could see that the plot, and I'm almost coming to the end, but I'm going to raise up a minute. The plot did not just start with this. There was a plot, an occasion to kill Jesus even before he was born. There was a plot to kill him after he was born. And the Herod didn't even know who he was, but he heard about a king that was going to be born. Herod didn't want to be dethroned. He didn't want to be threatened. He was already set. He was already settled. So what he did, he sent out another plot, and he said, kill every one of the male firstborns. The plot. So the plot only started thickening when Jesus really came on the scene. Isaiah said unto us, yeah, and unto you, yeah. And so the chastisement of our peace, yeah, be upon, and with his stripes, yeah, we're going to be healed. They were upset because those that were doing the trickery could not do the tricks no more. So here we see that when Jesus comes on the scene, he's low-keyed. But the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests, they were two competing factors. The Pharisees and the scribes, the Sadducees were the chief priests, the Jewish made up of the Sadducees. And they feared and hated Jesus. And they, I want to tell you, they were low down dirty. They were evil and they were acting like they were dirty. And the Bible said they came together and they began to figure out, now how can we get rid of this Jesus? He just getting on my nerve. He just making me upset. So they come together and they began to talk. But what I love, can I get a witness over here? Where Luke, can I turn to Brother Luke? Brother Luke began to tell us. Luke said, look, this is what happened. They all got together. Caiaphas was basically saying Jesus was going to die, and the Jews were not only going to be raptured or be kept, but what was going to happen is that everybody was going to come together. But when I looked over and I saw the plot, I saw that the people were with Jesus while Lazarus was in his sickness. The people were there at Mary's place when he died. There were some scribes. There were some Sadducees. There were some weepers. There were some mourners. So when they heard, somebody knew that Jesus was going to show up because he was a friend of Lazarus. So while they were standing back, they were watching and waiting for Jesus to come. And so somebody went and told, yeah, Jesus going to be on the way because Mary done went, Martha done said this. Oh, it's all. Now, when we get him over here, this is what we're going to have to do. We got to find a way to get him and capture him because, again, he's getting on our nerves. And the Bible said not only was the plot there, but then here comes another plot that was being plotted because Judas now is getting ready to sell him out. Can I have a napkin? Somebody give me a napkin. Yeah. So here he is. Thank you, baby. Here he is. He's going to sell him out. And that's another plot. You got to watch who you got by you. Now, Jesus knew all of them. He knew everyone. But he did not deny him from walking with him. Even though Jesus already knew that the plot was coming, he did not tell him, you can't come to church. Because you always doing something. No, come on to church. Come on. Because otherwise you're going to get tired and the real you going to show up. Satan has a plan. Satan has a plot, but God has a plan. And so the Bible says that Jesus teaches and warns them. And Jesus knew that Judas would know that he was going to go and get this little money. You ever seen people get so, they just want money. That little ching ching, yeah. They want them quarters, nickels, and dimes, and you'll find them picking up pennies. They just don't care. They just want it. And so the plot Luke saw was recorded when John saw at the Passover, the chief priests and the scribe, they sought how they might just kill Jesus because they feared the people would look at Jesus more than they would him, and they did. Satan enters into Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. He left and communed with the chief, listen y'all, priests and the captains, how that he might betray Jesus unto them. They was glad, and they made a covenant to give him money and promise him an opportunity to plot against Jesus. So here we come. He opposed. He was talked about. They plotted against him. Let me tell you why they plotted. They opposed that he was eating with the sinners. They was mad because he was sitting with stereotypes in his hometown. They was mad because they said he's violating the Jewish laws and the scriptures. They was mad because they said he was blaspheming or claiming to be what he wasn't. They was mad because he had authority for himself. Jewish leaders increasingly, hostilely got mad toward him and wanted to plot against him, all because he was just being a simple man. He was popular more than they were. They was upset with the traditions that their laws was being kind of undermined. But they didn't realize that every time he came to them, he was reading and telling them the scripture. And not only that, when they said something to him, he said, but the law says, and you know the law, and you know that I'm telling the truth. That's why they couldn't get him when they wanted him, because he was bound up with the law. So they was mad. Luke says Judas act like nothing was going on. You ever got them people around you? They be plotting all the time. Yeah, you know I like you. You all right. Can we go out and eat? He said Jesus already knew. And he spoke to him. And when they were supping, he said, Judas, whatever you do, do it quickly. Jesus was so smart. When they were sitting there, he said this. He said, "Who? Somebody's going to betray me, one of y'all." And they said, "Lord, is it I?" And then he said, "The one that dipped with me." But listen, all of them dipped. All of them dipped. I heard if a dog is on the other side of the fence and you throw the bone and you hit him, he gonna holler. So he left. Pilate. Oh, Lord. This is good to me, y'all. I'm gonna hurry up. I ain't gonna come with the lines. I'm about to close. When I'm about to close, all right? I'm looking at my time. I'm going to give myself about seven, a little more minutes. So he goes, when they begin to plot against him, they goes to Pilate, and they goes to Herod. And the multitude said, we find this fella, perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tributes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. Well, he was. So Pilate asked them, he asks him, he questions him. Pilate says to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And so the people kept saying the more. They got mad. Every time their plot would fall, they would get mad. Mind you, it's the leader, it's the priest, it's the high priest, it's the Pharisees, it's the scribes. Why you gonna get mad at somebody that's gonna help you with the people that you got that you can't do nothing about yourself? So they got mad, and they stirred. He stirred up the people. He's stirring them up, teaching throughout all Jewry and Galilee. And Pilate asked him, was he a Galilean? He knew Herod was in the judicial. Mm-hmm. So he sent him there. And the plot began to thicken more and more and more. And Pilate wanted not to kill him because he said, I find no fault in this man. I don't see nothing that he's doing that's so bad. Let me send him on over to Herod. Herod said, yeah, I'm glad to see you, but you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to mess him up. I'm going to just beat him a little bit, you know, and just send him on by the way, because I don't see no reason why we should kill him. I find no fault. And so it goes on, and they get mad, and the plot thickens. They bring him and present him, and they talk to him, and they did not know that they was there and what the plot was getting ready to do. It was going to thicken, but it was going to be a blessing. So they cried out, do Barabbas, get rid of Jesus, crucify him. The plot is to let him go. And they said, crucify him. I feel y'all rushing. And so after that, this is what happened. The Bible says that even though they tried to plot, the plot just didn't work. The devil had a plan, but God had a plan too. The devil planned to plot to kill him, but God planned to let him die for your sins and mine. And the plot thickens because Jesus did not murmur, did he fuss? When they asked him questions, he was a gentleman. When they asked him who he was, he said, you say I am. Oh, so you the king? He said, you says I am. And after all of that, what God did, he said, I got to round this thing up. He didn't stop there. They got so mad after they allowed him to go. After they allowed him to be free. The Bible says they got Jesus, and the plot had thickened so that when they got Jesus, they beat him all night long. The plot was thickening. When they got hold to him and they began to scourge him, they took off his garment and put him on another robe. They were so mad and thankful that they thought they had him in the plot, that they put a crown of thorns about his head. Yeah, the plot thickens. The Bible says that they pierced him and they mocked him and they talked about him even before they got to the cross. They pierced his heart because what they were doing, they did not realize that this same Jesus that they were plotting against was their Savior. They did not realize that this plot that they were plotting was going to be for their good. They did not realize that when they plotted, they were doing Jesus a justice, because the Bible says, for this reason came he into the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They did not realize that when they were hammering that cross and they were putting it together, that Jesus was saying, no man take it, my life. You can plot all day long, but you don't have the power to take my life. He said, I lay it down and I pick it up again. I also heard him say, destroy this temple, but in 3 days I'm going to raise it up again. You might think that a plot is going to take you down. It might take it down, but it won't take you out, because they know that the devil might have a plan. He might be messing with you, messing with your family, messing with your house, all because you're praying, all because you're doing what's good. But God got a plan. If you wait on him long enough, the plan is yours, and the plan will bring you victory. And the Bible says that when they did all of this, they made him carry that heavy cross on his bruised back. The devil don't care how bad you hurt. He doesn't care the lashes on your back. He just want to kill your influence. He just want to destroy you. And the only way he can do it is he got to do a plot. And he got to get permission from the plan maker. I said he got to get permission from the plan maker. What you talking about, Robinson? Job said, I was good. And the devil walked up and said who he was doing. He said, I'm walking to and fro in the earth seeking who I may devour. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant? And he said, I know who he is. I know you blessed him. The devil know you blessed. He know what you got. And God would give him permission to mess with his stuff that he gave you. Good God Almighty. I said, God would give him permission to mess with your stuff that God gave you. And so therefore, the Bible says, I got to go to the cross and then I'm out of here. But this is what happened. The Bible said they hung him high and they stretched him wide. That was the plot. They wanted to kill him. Now they got him. So they think he stretched out. That same Jesus that healed the sick. That same Jesus that raised the dead. That same Jesus that opened up blinded eyes. That same Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. He can't get up. He can't walk. He can't do nothing but just hang there. The devil had a plot, but God had a plan. And the Bible says they plotted and they pierced him. They've been wanting to touch him. They've been wanting to kill him. They've been wanting to beat him. But his time won't be. But when they did, it gave them satisfaction. I can see them now as they were walking, singing that old song. Before they got satisfaction, they were so mad, saying, I can't get no satisfaction. I tried and I tried and I still can't get no satisfaction. But this is what happened. The door swung open. They pierced him. They mocked him until he gave up the ghost. Yes, Lord. They thought that the plot was ended. But look at here, y'all. They took him down from the cross. Yes, Lord. And they said, let's think about this. He's been healing. He's been raising. Now, we know he got power, but he dead now. But oh my God, he was like Lazarus. He was just resting from his labor. And the Bible said, they said, let's get somebody to stay there, right there at the door of the grave. Leads his disciples come and get him. They were still scared, doctor. After they killed him, they were still scared. Because I want you to know that God got power. I said he got power to do anything but fail. And the Bible said, in my closing, he stayed there one day. Lord have mercy. The devil was mad, but he couldn't do nothing about it. He stayed there 2 days. Lord have mercy. He was down in hell. Yes, Lord. Breaking them up. Those that were dead, waiting on the promise. And the Bible said, on the third day morning, the devil might have a plan on your life. He might have a plot to kill your influence, kill your spirit, kill your children. But one thing I do know, God got a plan, and his plan is, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil is a liar. God got a plan. God has a plan. The devil has a plot, but God has a plan, even when the plot thickens. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The devil has a plot, but God has a plan. As we rise to our feet, we want to give the opportunity that you may join the family of believers. Jesus came to give us life in abundance. So no matter what he came to, the devil came to steal, to kill, and destroy. God gives us the victory. So you just have to call on the name, that precious name, and you can be saved. So God offers this to everyone. You heard the word, the message. If you believe, you make that confession with your mouth, and you believe in your heart, you shall be saved. So if there's one among us who has not made that confession, who has not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we welcome you to come forward. We have a lot of churches to choose from. So God will give you a la carte so you can find the menu that would suit you. So we welcome and invite anyone. Amen. If all hearts and minds are clear, God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. We thank God. Amen. For the word bearer tonight. Amen. Let's give Pastor Robinson a hand clap of praise. Amen. We thank God for this opening, amen, service of our Lenten season. Amen. We are expecting, amen, each week, amen, that the Lord is going to speak into our lives and the Lord is going to give us direction, amen, as we go forward into our Lenten season. Amen. We want to take a moment to acknowledge all of the spouses of our clergy that is here. If you are a spouse, we ask you to stand at this time so we can acknowledge your presence. Amen. We thank you. Amen. We want to thank Greater Cornerstone. Amen. Dr. Niles Wilson and First Lady Wilson. Amen. For agreeing to host our Lenten season, we are grateful, amen, to be here. We thank God for the musicians. Amen. Amen. And for Elder Lawrence leading us in worship. Amen. Next week, we will be back here, amen, at 7 p.m. Amen. For our week two, amen, Pastor Robert Clegg from New Covenant Baptist Church. Amen, will be our preacher, and he will be coming from the title, The Entry. Amen. So at this time, amen, we're going to prepare our hearts and our minds, amen, to receive our ashes. Amen, I believe Dr. Wilson and Dr. Webb is coming at this time, and they're going to administer, amen, our ashes to us at this time. Thank you.
Pastor Webb, I'm going to have him bless the ashes before we administer the ashes. Joel chapter 2. Old Testament prophet of Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and then 12 through 17 says, "Sound the trumpet in Jerusalem. Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again." Verse 12 says, "That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows, perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. Blow the ram's horn in Jerusalem. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Gather all the people, the elders, the children, and even the babies. Call the bridegroom from his quarters and the bride from her private room. Let the priests who minister in the Lord's presence stand and weep between the entry room to the temple and the altar. Let them pray, spare your people, Lord. Don't let your special possession become an object of mockery. Don't let them become a joke for unbelieving foreigners who say, has the God of Israel left them?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent and is always 46 days before Resurrection Sunday. Lent is a 40-day season because we don't count the Sundays. It is marked by repentance, fasting, reflection, and ultimately celebration. The 40-day period represents Christ's time of temptation in the wilderness, where he fasted and where Satan tempted him. And during Lent, believers are challenged to set aside a time each year for similar fasting, marking an intentional season of focus on Christ's life, his ministry, his sacrifice, and his resurrection. Tonight, each of us will receive ashes upon our heads in the form of the cross. The ashes are made from the burned palm leaves from last year's Palm Sunday. Receiving the ashes serves as a sign of repentance and humility. And it should remind all of us of our mortality and our need to repent and seek forgiveness for our sins. Tonight, prepare your hearts for repentance. Pastor Webb.
Let us pray. Eternal and all-wise God, we come at this moment to ask for forgiveness. We repent, Lord, for all of our sins and our transgressions. We admit, God, it was us. We did it. We've fallen short. We've left things undone. We did things that you told us not to do. But at this moment, we repent. We feel godly sorry, and we turn from that. God, we pray that you will bless these ashes, that they will be a sign and a symbol that from dust we came, and from dust we will return. Help us, oh God, to walk this season of Lent with a humble and a repentive heart. Lord, we pray now that these ashes, oh God, will be a symbol and sign for others to know that we are following you. Bless them now, Lord. This is our prayer It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Man, Pastor Webb and I will be in the front to administer the ashes. We're going to ask that you follow the direction of the ushers. They're going to direct you down the center aisle. Just come on the side that you're sitting on. One of us will be on the left, one will be on the right. As you receive your ashes, we ask that you tarry for the person in front of you. Allow them to come and receive their ashes before you step forward. Amen.
to him is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. That's why we repent. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Even when there is a plot, God has a plan. And the people of God say, amen.